Now back to Puckett and Slickhawk on 950 KJR AM. Also at 95.7 KJR FM HD2. Free on the iHeartRadio app. Play 950 KJR on your smart speakers. And streaming at sportsradiokjr.com.
Win a grand. Grand in your hand coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Listen for the keyword. When you hear it, text it to 200-200. All right? When you hear the keyword, text it to 200-200. It's our stimulus check to you. No one else is giving you a stimulus check, but we are. KJR loves you. Your chance at a $1,000 stimulus check coming up in 10 minutes from right now. When you hear the keyword...
$10,000?
When you hear the keyword, you text it to 200-200. Huh?
I think it's just 1,000.
That's what I said.
You said 1,000. You said 10,000.
Could be $10,000 if you keep running it.
You win 10 times?
You win 10 times, you win $10,000, Matt. $1,000 or $10,000. Whatever
that
you
is
want
correct.
To view it, you text it into 200-200. Coming up in 10 minutes from right now. Headline today, hockey gets underway tonight. Matt Nagy coming back, Bears head coach. Broncos got a new GM, and George Patton. Brian Schottenheimer was fired yesterday by your Seahawks. That gets you caught up in the world of sports. And James Harden is fat. Like, really fat. Like, I mean, large man. like obese.
What up with that?
He'll talk about that story coming up later. My God, Matt. Hell.
But his team's letting him down, right?
Good for you, man. COVID gets us all. And I blame COVID for the last 30 years. So
yeah?
Good for you, James.
Okay.
All right, what are we doing? We're doing a Help Wanted ad.
Yes.
Help Wanted ad, what we want for a new offensive coordinator for your Seattle Seahawks. You want creativity. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And some
stones.
The text
line is burning up. You want stone.
Yeah.
49451. Someone wants anyone who's worked with great QBs. And has a big, bushy mustache. Someone who makes adjustments mid-game. Who runs a two-minute offense all game long.
Ooh.
I want someone who knows how to get DK the ball when Ramsey's playing 15 yards off. I would really like a local guy, possibly one that won a Super Bowl in the last 3 years. Well, this is the Doug Peterson offensive coordinator show of record.
It really is.
Others trying to claim the Doug Peterson. We want him here. We shall not name who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Doug Peterson bring him to Seattle show of record immediately.
You know, is that too?
We don't like others.
You know, is that too?
Yeah. We don't like others trying to take our idea. It's our idea first.
I did put out a tweet.
We wanted Dan Quinn. I do think it's funny that in this, we're talking about we fired the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And not the defensive coordinator.
It is a little weird, I think, of where we were at midseason.
Oh, and hell where they're at right now. That defense didn't get any better. I laugh at this whole thing that they got so much better.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I think they got better.
I think they got a lot better.
Okay, by like that much.
I think by an inch.
That's
got
how
considerably
much they got better.
Better.
No, they didn't. Look who they played.
They would have got.
Do you think he's a good defensive coordinator? The answer is no.
I don't know.
He's not.
Well, it's Carroll. It's Carroll okay. with the defense. That's what it's always been.
But the other dude calls the plays, okay. And he's never been a good defensive coordinator. In the history of him calling plays, has never been good. Yet he gets to keep his job?
I just don't think the coordinator.
Because he's buddies with Carroll and does whatever Carroll says.
I just don't think the defensive coordinator matters so much right. here. You know?
I agree with you. It's his baby.
So it's whatever.
It's his baby, for yeah. sure. I 100% agree with that. Then fire himself.
Well, he turned that defense around.
You know who turned the defense around?
Hmm.
I'm going to tell you who turned it around. You ready for it?
Sure.
Here are the seven. I believe there are seven people that turned the defense around.
Stop.
No, what? I do. Honestly, there's seven key people. Your seven are going to be different than my seven.
Right.
Do you want to hear my seven?
Let me guess.
Actually, it's eight.
Uh-huh.
It's eight people.
Okay.
It's eight people.
Jared Goff.
Carson Wentz. Colt McCoy. Sam Darnold. Dwayne Haskins. Jared Goff. John Wofford. And CJ Beathard. That's seven, not eight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because yeah. he had Goff twice.
Those are the seven people that get the most credit for the defensive turnaround from the Seahawks. But this is not here. We can do that later.
Okay.
This is a help wanted ad for what we want for a new offensive coordinator. You want stability. Now, what did you say? Creativity?
Yeah, creativity.
Stones.
And Stones.
That's a good one. I didn't think Stones wouldn't
fearless.
Be.
Fearless. Stones.
Stones wouldn't be on my list, but I like that. Yeah. Fearless.
Yeah.
Now, again, when we're playing this game, remember, okay? Remember, it's none of it's going to happen.
So why are we doing it?
Well, because it's just a fun exercise for us.
Oh, okay.
The whole let's go get. Why would Steve Sarkisian. I love everyone. Why would he come be the offensive coordinator with the Seahawks when he just got the job at Texas?
Obviously, he's not going to.
That pays him more money?
Well, it doesn't have to pay him more money. You pay him whatever you want.
Sure, but he makes a boatload at Texas.
I know.
Come on.
We're doing an entire segment of things we want that will never happen.
People are like legitimately want him to go get Steve Sarkisian. He would be career suicide to come here. So he comes here and calls runs on first and second down and throws on third and eight, or goes to Texas where he's going to call whatever offense he wants, and they're going to score 50 a game because they don't play defense in the Big 12, so his offense is going to look great. They'll lose 51-50, but his offense won't be the reason. It'd be career suicide for Sarkisian to come here. Under this guy, under Carroll.
Give him $20 million a year.
help wanted. Here's what I'd like to see.
Okay.
Okay, now again, we're not doing names because we got burned on names last time.
Boy, did we.
Because we planted the flag for John DeFilippo. We got up on the mountain. We're screaming for DeFilippo.
Where did he go? Was it Minnesota and then like Jacksonville, something like that?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
We kind of did the Homer Simpson. We went right back into the shrub on that one. here's what I want. A dynamic play caller. I think that kind of fits into what you talked about being being creative. I'd like to see a use of multiple formations where not everything looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Motion, shifts. They call it in the business, Matt, eye candy.
Oh.
Some eye candy. I'd like a coordinator that can scheme on the fly. In-game adjustments.
Just drawing up plays in the dirt.
Yeah. On the grease board, right? What does Millen always say when he's on hardcore football?
Well, looks good on the grease board.
He who controls the pen last wins. And I want the guy with the pen in our hand having a look. Put your best players in the best situations, like DK Metcalf. Like Devontae Smith was put in the situations against Ohio State.
You mean the situations where it was wide ass open?
Yeah.
That's a technical industry term.
It's okay to use a tight end and a running back in the passing game. I'd like to see that being incorporated back into the offense. A multiple and versatile, wait for it, screen game. It has been, for the past 10 years, the worst screen game offense in the history of the NFL. It's awful. They don't practice it. It looks like they don't practice it, and they're never good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams excel at it. Andy Reid could write a 1,000-page book on how to do an effective screen game. And they know it's coming, but it still works, like all the time. play with tempo. Let's snap the ball with 13 seconds on the shot clock, on the game clock.
Yeah.
No more taking it down to a second. How about we use a fullback?
Why?
Because it's fun. It goes back to being multiple and diverse on offense. Give them different looks. Spread them out. Go shotgun.
Right.
Let's go pistol. Let's go RPO. Let's line up with a fullback every now and again. Change the pocket. Move them around.
Yeah.
Don't just drop them back 5 yards every single time.
I'm not excited about the fullback.
Well, I mean, one of the best offenses you ever had a fullback. So.
When was that?
I don't know, when they won a Super Bowl?
7 years ago.
Okay, but it's, you know, Okay. I mean, come on. The Niners, in less than a complete meltdown the fourth quarter, used a fullback last year and almost won the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Okay. I think a former quarterback would be ideal. Not necessary, but I think would be ideal. And a forceful voice in his head to kind of coach him and also call plays. I think that would be wise.
Okay. So you're not thinking Canales?
So I don't think hiring Dave Canales, who's a wide receiver, to coach quarterbacks would be wise.
Okay.
I pray to God Vanderbilt hires this guy.
I've got it. I've got it.
And then?
I've got the coordinator.
And I would say must have offensive authority. But again, going into this exercise, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So none of what we said will happen.
Of course. Okay. But I got the guy for you. I know we're not supposed to name names.
We're not doing names.
I know, but.
No names.
Dave Craig.
No names. No names.
I think Craig, I think he's the guy.
Can't do names. Although we do love and support, and we're the first to support and put our name behind Doug Peterson.
But no names.
But no names. Can't have a names other than Doug Peterson. Can't do a name other than Doug Peterson. That's who we would like. But again, we're not planting the flag for Doug Peterson. We can't do it yet. Yeah, maybe we can. We don't want to get burned like we got burned on D-Felix.
He's just not going to do it.
That's what we want. Will it come to fruition? Well, you know it won't, because he's going to hire who he wants to hire.
Right.
He's going to hire a yes man to call the offense that he wants. So hell, maybe it will be Dave Canales, because he'll do whatever he tells him to do.
Okay.
Because no, honestly, he will. He'll hire this guy from the Chargers. He's out of work. He needs a job. He's young. You think he's going to go out on his own rogue or do what Pete Carroll wants?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He'll hire the guy that will play the way he wants to play, it's unfortunate.
But. Didn't Doug Peterson just get fired because he was basically telling ownership, I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do?
Yeah, that's
I'm tired of being told what to do.
That's a fair point.
So I don't know if Pete Carroll is the guy for him.
Doesn't sound like it's a marriage made.
Maybe not.
Doesn't like those two would get together.
Not so much.
Yeah. Carroll doesn't like a big personality.
No.
Sitting next to him. All right. Tony Softley, who has spent many, many years inside a front office making hard, tough personnel decisions. He is our personnel guy. He will join us next to talk about. He loved Brian Schottenheimer and still does. One would assume he doesn't agree with it. Where do the Seahawks go from here? Tony Softley will join us next. It's brought to you by Jack's Barbecue. Before that, listen, because coming up, grand in your hand, your stimulus check is coming. Listen to the keyword. When you hear it, text it to 200-200. Reminder, you have within the hour to text in that keyword. If you heard that keyword, a chance at a grand in your hand, $1,000. You still have time to text it and try to get $1,000 grand in your hand. Text it to 200-200. If you missed the keyword, we can't help you, Slick.
I missed it. Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Well, not you. We can help the listeners.
Oh.
Tweet of the day coming up 11:45. Top story of the day at noon. And what's up with that Wednesday at 12:30? Also, we're going to talk to Fitzy. Everett Fitzhugh, because it's the opening night in hockey. And a year from now, well, I guess less than a year from now, next season, opening night will include your Kraken.
Yes.
So Fitzy, the first and only Kraken broadcaster as of now, right?
The only one I've seen.
Yeah. He'll join us today at the bottom of the around 12:20 or so. Then we'll do What's Up With That Wednesday as well. All right. Joining us at 11:20, does every Wednesday, brought to you by Jack's Barbecue, Jack's BBQ. .com. It's our good friend Tony Softley on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Hi, Tony.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're doing great. I would assume you were surprised yesterday by the move.
Yeah, little surprise that Shoddy and I had a lot of people call me. Hey, what's going on? You help cover that? I really don't cover the team, but I examine them, analyze them, I should say, like all 32. I was a little surprised just for the simple fact that, you know, the first half of the season, they were blowing this league up. Nobody could cover DK deep. Nobody could cover Lockett. They were running the football when they wanted to run the football. Then all of a sudden, things started to derail. Now, it was that Russ hanging onto the ball too long, his total amount of turnovers, him changing the RPOs at the line of scrimmage. There's just a lot of things that went into that. But I was surprised when you're 12-4, you put up that much numbers and the production early, even though you couldn't sustain it, and we all were saying it's not sustainable. They ended up 12-4, and so yeah, it was a little bit of a shock.
You've been around this league a long time, around this game a long time. Have you ever seen that drastic of a turnaround and for that long? I mean, from the first half of the season to the entire second half in the playoffs, and to just a stark contrast in how successful the offense was at moving the ball, putting up points, and then, you know, the quarterback play being the worst stretch of Russell Wilson's career.
Yeah, you know, I have seen it, and we saw it with the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. I think defenses catch up on the second half of the season. Offense obviously come out the gate fast. We all know that. But, yeah, look at Big Ben and the Steelers. They had the up and down and inconsistent play just like the Seattle Seahawks, and they got ousted as well. So it happens. It doesn't happen all the time. Generally, when you're a 11, 12, 13-win team, you know, you've done something right to get to that many wins, to carry you into the playoffs and hopefully propel you deep. But yeah, I have seen that, and I've been a part of a couple teams that played like that as well.
Tony, you think it's a mistake?
Well, we'll find out. You know, I know one thing, whoever the offensive coordinator is coming in here, he better run the damn ball. I mean, cause that seems to be the message. We didn't run the ball. And, yet, you know, they put up a lot of points through the air. I think what really started to hurt them, they couldn't beat cover two. And when you can't run the football and they're going to sit back in a cover two and let their front handle you, that's an issue. So that slowed down DK's production, even though he had a lot of yards. You know, the big plays in the second half of the season just weren't there. So, I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who's coming in, to work with Pete and the rest of the staff, and, all eyes are on the Seahawks right now.
Fair criticism of Schottenheimer didn't adjust as the season went on.
No question. And you know, they can go back, your listeners can go back to the iHeart radio podcast and listen to me talking about run the damn football and run those running backs till their tongues hang out. I just didn't think they made a lot of adjustments within a game or the week before the game. You know, so yeah, that is definitely a criticism that, but you know, then again, it's not just Schottenheimer. That's also Pete. He's the head coach. And so, you know, what happens is in a week, they play Sunday. Okay. Monday morning, the pro scouts come in and they give their dissertation on the upcoming opponent, analytics and stats and what they saw in the film, formations, everything. On Tuesday, Monday night, the staff goes and they develop that game plan. Tuesday, they fine tune it with the head coach and everything. Wednesday, they present it to the club and the players. So there's changes that go on and make, you know, all the way till Friday to tweak this thing. But you know, even within a game, there's changes. There just wasn't a lot of that. I mean, I remember watching like you guys and fans, why are they throwing the ball here? I mean, what, you know, this third quarter, fourth quarter, why are we throwing the ball? Is Russell trying to pad his stat? I just couldn't understand what was going on. Run the football, kill this game and get the W. And, to answer your question, a long roundabout way, yes, they should have been making more adjustments.
So do you think then that this would be sustainable then, going back to running the football more? Do you think that's going to be the recipe that turns us around to get them into the Super Bowl?
I think it's got to be a combination of both, Slick. I think, and you guys know that, and your listeners as well. Their football, you know, IQs are high. You've got to be able to run the football in order to create play action play, in order to throw the ball. And it's a very simple formula. And you know, and I'd love to hear Hugh's idea on this, and even Coach Holmgren. But you have to run the football. Sooner or later, you have to run the football and to sustain a drive, to chew up the clock, to shorten the game. It's just part of football. I heard somebody talk about, you know, Seattle doesn't use a fullback. Well, so what? They're, you know, look at the Ravens. They run the pistol. You know, they got a running back behind them, and they got a tight end next to them, or another running back next to them, and away they go. So it's just how your formations are, how your philosophy is and run the football, but you have to run the football, and be balanced. But, I think a good football team runs the football, and that just shortens the game for him.
What he wants, though, in terms of how he wants his game to look like, has that passed him by? Has that passed the league by at all?
No, you know, that's what surprised me about Shoddy is because, you know, the first half of the season they had it rolling. Nobody could stop these guys. And for whatever reason, it was slowed down and derailed a little bit. And they never really got back to it. They never really got the respect of the league that they were still a good running football or that's what they were trying to achieve. And, you know, it seemed that they were just trying to throw the football and run it when they had to, which was unfortunate, you know. So it is what it is. The next OC that comes in here, he's got to have an attack. He's got to be able to run the football. He's got to be able to be cover two, you know, hopefully an up-tempo type offense that is exciting and be able to get the ball to your playmakers, you know, while remaining balanced, but still be able to run the football is a high priority.
That's, I guess that's what we'd look at next is what is next as far as offensive coordinator. And, of course, a lot of names will be thrown around. One that I have seen a couple of times is Pep Hamilton, who was handling a lot of the offensive coordinator duties and quarterback coach duties down in San Diego. And of course, he was in the XFL. When you were working for the XFL, he's kind of bounced around the league as well. He used to coach at Stanford, too. What can you tell us about Pep Hamilton and maybe what he would bring if he ended up being the guy?
Yeah, he is an X's and O's guy. He's extremely smart, extremely personable. The players love him. I had a chance, and I've known Pep for years, but I really had a chance to work with him in the XFL and you know, hang out with him a little bit, smoke a cigar here and there, and just have a conversation with him. I mean, he's a football guy. He's a football junkie. And, you know, the things that he did with Herbert down there in San Diego, you know, and just – relating to the players, I think that would be an excellent pick. You know, and he would work with Pete. If Pete says, hey, I like it balanced, you know, this week, these guys can't stop the run. Let's go heavy run. And I'm not saying Shoddy didn't do that, but I think that you got to bring somebody in there that can communicate and agree upon philosophy. And Pep Hamilton would definitely be one of those guys.
Some of the best, Tony, and again, Tony Softly with us. He joins us every single Wednesday at 11:20. We talk Seahawks football with him, Pylon and Sticks. He hosts that podcast too. So wherever you find your podcast, just go and search Pylon and Sticks. It's all brought to you by Jack's Barbecue and JacksBBQ.com. You know, some of the best coaches are always about delegation, that they delegate their responsibilities. And being a head coach, you can't have kind of your hands into everything because you've got to look at things from the macro side of things. He has been accused and even admitted this week that he dabbles too much, especially in that offensive side of the football. Certainly did that last game where it led to him overruling Brian Schottenheimer, which led to the confusion on that fourth down and one play. A coach comes to mind like a John Harbaugh with Baltimore, who had their up and down years, especially after they made the transition from Joe Flacco, then eventually there to Lamar Jackson, was that he ceded control to Greg Roman on offense and just said, you just kind of run the offense. Can Pete Carroll, can he allow himself to hire an offensive coordinator to just say, you run that side of the football, I'll worry about the defense? Or is he incapable of doing that, do you think?
Yes, you know, I don't know Pete on that side of it, you know, and it'd be hard for me to even say, but I would think that if you hire a coach, if you're a coach, you want to hire people that you can trust to go handle your and do your job. Okay, bring me the package. What are we going to do this week? Look it over, watch your tape, make your changes, your input, and go with it. And so I don't think that's going to change much moving forward. I don't think he's going to give anybody the keys to the castle and just say, hey, you just go do what you're going to do like Greg Roman. You know, I don't see Pete changing much. And how much his involvement is going to be in making in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments, or even, you know, game plan adjustments during the week will change. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how this thing moves forward and exactly who they bring in here. And their track record and who they've worked with in the past.
Just knowing, you know, what you do with this personnel offensively and what you've seen, I mean, were you surprised that there were struggles against too high safety looks and things like that. I mean, is that something that is common? I've never heard of that really for like half a season to where, okay, they're throwing this one look at you. And so that's just gonna, I mean, you're gonna grind to a halt.
Yeah, you know, it's a different pass, route tree versus a single high safety and a cover two. But there's cover two beaters. There's routes that beat cover two. There's some things that they tried to do, but they were loading up the box. You know, they tried to run the football and then had to back out of that and started slinging it again. And then they got caught. And so I think it was more of them, the inability for them to take shots deep. Stretch that secondary. That was really the difference. And then they got away from the run game because they just, you know, teams were stuffing it, and they lost the respect of them being able to run the football. And I think that really played a big part of it.
Tony, I mentioned this earlier when we were discussing this, that this is a real pivotal moment here, what they do with the next offensive coordinator clearly here in this offseason, and really could mark perhaps – the splitting of an organization, because if they don't get it right this time, you know, again, this will be the fourth offensive coordinator for Carroll. It will now be the third coordinator for Russell Wilson in 5 years. He's 32. By the time he's a free agent, he'll be 35. I mean, he'll still be very much in his prime, and we're seeing guys play much longer into their careers than we ever have before. Nutrition, all of it, the regiment that these guys keep themselves in. Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP this year. He's 37 years old. Drew Brees is at 41. Now he's pretty much, you know, he's done. But the point is, I think, made. These guys are playing longer. If they don't figure this out in the next 2 years, and this does not satisfy Russell Wilson, but there could be a decision of which way they go, that Wilson decides, I'm moving on, or someone in the organization is going to have to choose, do we remain with the coach or do we remain with the quarterback? I believe this is how instrumental and how significant this hire is, because I think it could lead to a fracture of the coach and the quarterback.
Yeah, and you could very well be right. I think it's critical that they get an OC in here that can work with Russell. Somebody that, not to ask his opinion on the hire, but make sure that the philosophy and how they go about it, that the guy is a good teacher, he's a good listener. You know, his game planning, everything works to the success and built around your best quarterback in franchise history here in Seattle. And so I agree with you. I think it's critical. This hire is and movement forward is, you know, can they sustain this? I mean, you're looking at a 12-4 team here, and I don't even really think that they peaked on defense. They weren't an elite defense. They were good. They were gaining momentum. They were getting better. I still think they have a lot of pieces to get, you know, and I think they could use another young tight end, a change of pace running back. So there's a lot of things that they can get. But to get back to your question, yes, this hire at offensive coordinator at this time, at this junction of this organization is critical.
Yeah, it's if you think it's – I mean, you can only imagine – how the quarterback feels. Let's just go along the lines here of this, and we can just leave it here, of where he wanted to play a system like he did in the first 9 games. And let's say Schottenheimer, that's what he preferred as well. And when they had their coming to Jesus moment this week, Schottenheimer expressed that to Carroll. Listen, our best path, honestly, is this way. Carroll disagrees. And then they said, well, if you believe that, Brian, then we need to end this relationship right now. You know, how does your quarterback feel? You want me to go back to being a guy that's going to throw it 26 times a game and we're going to hand it off the majority of the time? Tony, if that's the case, honestly, then they should trade him. They should move on, because you're not paying him $37 million or whatever it is to do that. I mean, this isn't his first 2-3 years in the league anymore. And the game has changed and evolved. And find somebody else that can do that. And then, you know what? Spend that money elsewhere. Spend it on your offensive line. Spend it on a running back. And play the style you want to play.
No, yeah, and that's fair. I would say to that, though, somewhere in there, Pete Carroll's a head coach, and he makes the decisions. And if he says, I want to run the football more, you run the football more. And that's just how it goes. Now, you put the ball in Russell's hands to throw it, How many turnovers did he have? How many interceptions? The pick six in the playoff game was atrocious. And so you got to be careful forcing that hand of throwing the ball because this guy is getting paid X amount of dollars. He's your most expensive player, and he's your franchise guy. You got to kind of play the team thing and look at the big picture. So step back, take a breath, and figure it out, you know, long term. But getting back to your question just a second ago, this hire is critical. There is no question about that. Yeah.
Appreciate it, Tony. All the best to you. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Sounds good.
All right. There he is, Tony Softly, brought to you by Jack's Barbecue, jacksbbq.com. We can pick up on that. We can do Tweet of the Day. We can do, you know what? We can do anything we want to do.
Yeah, you know why? Because we can adjust
That's
on the
right.
fly.
But we do have Tweet of the Day coming up next. We'll pick this back up more at noon. I do believe, I mean, I'm honest with you. Like, on permission to be serious here.
Permission granted.
We're never serious. This is the most significant hire in franchise history. It will be one of the most significant hires. Because I'll say this, because I think it has the potential to fracture a relationship between a head coach and a quarterback. If the quarterback wanted to play the way he has been playing the first 9 weeks, that I know everyone got mad with all the turnovers. I'm going to sit back and just say I live with that stuff. If you're going to throw the ball more, the turnovers are going to happen.
Of course.
Now, some of the stuff that he threw were crushing. So, I mean, some of the interceptions were really bad.
Look, I got mad at that interception against the Rams when he should have run. I got mad at that, but
sure.
You get over it, because more times than not, when putting the ball in his hands, he's going to deliver you wins.
Yeah. I'm a broken record on this one. I am not gonna fall into the Bills game trap. I just won't. It's not gonna fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
Your defense couldn't stop a cold that day.
Yeah.
They weren't gonna win the game because your defense was a disaster all game long. Josh Allen was playing 7-on-7 out there. They weren't going to slow it down. The only thing you could do was try to win a shootout. That was it. He had to throw it on every down.
Had to.
Because your defense couldn't do anything. And just keep in mind, to all you defensive people out there, that's the last quarterback they faced. And how'd it look?
They made changes. Dunlap... The defense, I think, got considerably better.
How much money would you could you win if after the Bills game, or whatever, Bills game, who gets fired first, Ken Norton or Brian Schottenheimer?
A lot of money.
God almighty. I just think it has a chance to fracture a relationship. He is signed through 2023 is Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be a free agent in 2024. Carroll Stein through 25, Schneider through 27. In the next 2 years, if this doesn't work out, I just do believe a guy, he tweets out his support yesterday for Schottenheimer. I would expect him to do that anyways. He probably did the same thing after Bevel. But he clearly, if we speculate, and I think our speculation is correct. Schottenheimer said to keep Pete Carroll on Monday night, no, we need to go back to how we were doing it in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We got too conservative. Carroll's like, no, we need to be more conservative. And then I think they just said, well, we can't work together then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you're fired. Okay. Guarantee that the $35 million quarterback agrees with the offensive coordinator on that one. So he's probably already like, wait a minute. Are we going back to where I was a rookie and we're handing it off all the time?
Right.
Again, if that's what you want, I say trade him. Then get rid of him. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth to spend that amount of money on a guy if we're going to play that way.
Well, also, if you're going to play that brand of football, you have to have an elite defense that's holding teams to 14 points a game like you had during that era.
And
you got to spend money on that.
And you don't have that.
No.
You don't have a 1,500-yard back.
No.
All right, who is a generational talent. So that's not there. Then move on. But I think he'll move on. If he doesn't like what he sees here in about a year or two,
I think
you'll see a guy who says, trade me.
Yeah.
He'll be Deshaun Watson. And I think that the organization then will have to make a decision. I don't even know who makes the call. Is it Schneider? No, because he actually works under Carroll. Is it Jody Allen? Is it Chuck Arnold? I have no clue. They'll have to make a call. Do we keep the coach? Do we keep the quarterback?
Well, I think that call has to be made by one of Pete Carroll's sons, because that's who he answers to.
This is Brennan. Yeah, hey, Dad, sorry, but we're going to have to go with the quarterback.
You're out, Dad.
I don't know. I mean,
you're out, Pa.
This is why this hire scares me so much.
Yeah.
Because if he goes to a guy that is just going to do what he says, and it infuriates the quarterback, and we just don't take advantage of what he can truly do, then there's a chance that then it all breaks apart.
Because he has said many times, he wants to be the best quarterback ever. He wants to win championships. He wants big endorsements. He wants to be an owner one day. He wants a legacy.
Wait, you know what hurts
me? And if it's not going to happen here, yeah, he'll want to go somewhere else.
What bothers me about it, it's disappointing. I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed. I think Pete Carroll is an elite motivator.
Sure, elite. Of course he is.
I think at times he can be an elite defensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, I think when we talk about guys, when you want a motivator to get men to do something who make millions of dollars and to go in a certain way, he is elite. I think he's the best in the business at it. I just wish he would marry that elite characteristic of himself with an elite play caller. Because I think if he did that, the elite motivator that he is, the elite CEO he is of a franchise, if he married that with an elite play caller, the sky's the limit. I mean, they'd run away with things.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't want to do it. Hey, quickly, our tweet of the day. Houston Rockets are requesting in a trade with the 76ers. Matisse Thybulle in a trade package for James Harden. Would this be Thybulle and Ben Simmons?
You got to think.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it's probably some draft pick love.
Simmons, Thybulle, and draft picks.
Yeah.
For fat James Harden. Rockets head coach Steven Silas saying James Harden did not attend practice today. In fact, they told him to stay home. That it'd be best for the group if he wasn't here today.
Wow.
If you saw any pictures of him yesterday, it looked like your uncle at the holidays who used to play on the high school team, who came over for dinner, hit the appetizers and the booze hard, hit dinner hard, and then said, boys, we're going outside to play a little 2-on-2. That's what James Harden looked like last night. Don't do it, Sixers. Don't do it.
No, I don't know why a team would do that.
Do it.
You're not going to give up your foundation.
Will regret adding James Harden to your team.
You have to trust the process.
All right, we'll get into our top story of the day coming up next. Also, what's up with that Wednesday? And a visit from Kraken broadcaster Everett Fitzhugh. Fitzy!